Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Nehemiah Perek Tes, the ninth chapter of the book of Nehemiah. This chapter contains 37 psukim, and it is a very, very powerful perek in many ways. There's a transition that happens in world history, in Jewish history certainly, that occurs in this perek, which changes the way that we interact with the world around us. Let's investigate a little bit together. If you remember, in Perek Ches, there had just been this incredibly emotional epiphany which had occurred upon the reading of the Sefer Torah. Ezra produces the Sefer Torah's Moshe. He reads it to the people. They are flabbergasted, whether it is that they heard the curses or they read that it was Rosh Hashanah and they did a self-reflection, and they are very upset. But they're sent home, they're sent to feast and enjoy the festival, and they celebrate Sukkos. And now the question is, what do they do afterwards with that epiphany? What's going to happen? So here is what happens. The first five psukim are about the fast and confession. What happens is on the 24th of that month, now we're dealing with the month of Tishrei, all of Israel comes together in fasting. They're wearing sackcloth. They've got earth on them, so symbolic mourning. And they first thing they do is they separate themselves from the Zera, the Bnei Nechar, from those who are foreigners, which means to say that they have intermarried once again. And the first thing they do is they separate. And now they go up and they confess. They go up to and they read the Torah again. And it describes how this day is a day which is divided. It's for learning Torah, for confessions and bowing and prostrating themselves in front of Hashem in Yerushalayim. And at this point in time, the Levim get up on the podium. Yeshua, his children, Kadmiel, Shavnaya, Buni, Sher, Vayo, and Hanani. So they all call out in a great, great voice. They call out to Hashem, and they say, you know, we need to get up and give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kumu Baruch Hu es Hashem Elokeichem. Praise Hashem, min ha'olam v'ad'olam, from world to world, from all eternity. V'varchu shen kevodecha, and give blessing to His holy Your holy name, Meromayim al kol bracha u'tehila, who is above and lofty above any prayer whatsoever. A few things to think about before going forward and actually hearing what the tefillah is, because the rest of the perek is that tefillah. Well, first of all, why is it on the 24th of the month of Tishrei? So if you look at the dating of the calendar, Shmini Atzeres, which is the eighth day from the beginning of Sukkot, ends on the 22nd of Tishrei. That would mean the 23rd of Tishrei is Yisru Chag, the day afterwards, which cannot be used for fasting. And therefore, because of that halachic impediment, the first day they could actually really fast during the month of Tishrei would be on the 24th. How rampant was assimilation at this time, that they're separating themselves from their foreign wives? So the Ralbag says, well, look, it's been at least 13 years since Ezra's first foray into marriage. And in that period of time, you know, it's become slack. And there's been people who've come and made aliyah from Babylon and fallen into the same traps of society around them. So it has to be reaffirmed. We're going to see how Nehemiah himself is going to reaffirm it later on. Now, what is it that they're calling out to God about? What is it in Pasuk Dalet where it says the Levim gets up on the podium and they cry out, Vayizahaku, they call out to Hashem. What was it that they were calling out to Hashem? It comes back to what was the realization they had on the first of Tishrei that's now being, in a certain sense, given a tangible structure in this fast day. So Rav Shimon Schwab points out that it's because at this point in time, the terrible dawning of the realization happens, that they are no longer living in the potential possibility of Geula in the way that Zechariah and Haggai, their prophets, had said it. Just this generation, Haggai and Zechariah talked about remarkable visions of redemption. And they realize at this point in time that that window is closing, if it has not yet already closed. It is not materialized. They're now in a state of, we'll call it a very modest and humble state of Judea, but still under Persian control, still not what it was in the times of Bais Rishon. And at this point in time, they realize it's because of their sins. And that is a very, very emptying feeling. That's a very disappointing feeling in Jewish history. However, if you take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Daled Amud Aleph, the Gemara says a remarkable insight based on this pasuk over here. This is a watershed moment in all of human history. What does it mean that they called out? It says, Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yonatan, who said, Be'a, Be'a. They call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they say to him, Woe, woe. This concept which got the Beis HaMikdash destroyed and burnt it down and killed all these tzaddikim and is still dancing amongst us. What are they referring to? They're referring to the inclination to serve Avodah Zarah, to worship pagan idols. That's what that inclination we were not able to overcome in the first Beis Hamikdash, and it's still here. We're still struggling with this Avodah, this Yetzer, this inclination. So they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll make a deal. Lo Yihu Bo'inon, V'lo Agre Bo'inon. We don't want it or its reward, meaning, you're giving us a test. Can you overcome this Yetzer Hara of this inclination to serve idols? We say, you know what? If we could overcome it, we'll get a great reward. We don't want the reward and we don't want the test. We've failed. It's not too hard for us. We need to get off this bike. It's too much. That's what they said. So what happens is the answer, fascinating, they sat in 3 days of fasting. That refers to what's happening in our Perek now. And a note floated from heaven to the ground, and on it was the word MS. MS is the word truth, which is the signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is that? So that means to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, it signed off on this request. Essentially, this is not just a request for, you know, a new limousine. This is a request to change the very nature of human beings. And what happened was, is that this Yetzer Hara left in the form of a fiery lion cub emanating from the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they were able to capture it. Talks about the terrible, when they got hold of it, all its hair fell out and the whole land shook. Just a remarkable idea, coming from the Holy of Holies. Why is the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah in the Holy of Holies? Worthwhile thinking about. This is a remarkably deep Gemara. They were able to take it and put it into a container of lead, and they were able to, so to speak, contain it and force it out, so to speak, of the world in that respect. And then at that point in time, the Gemara goes on to say that they said, well, maybe we can pray for the diminishing of the inclination for sins regarding sexual immorality. And they did, and at that point in time, they noticed that the chickens are no longer fertilizing their seeds, and that the world, so to speak, started going into a demise, because there is a positive direction for that inclination. So they've asked for it back, but not in the form of, so to speak, the driving force towards incest. That's what the Gemara says. Remarkable. Which means this is a watershed moment in history. Why is it that we don't see people around who want to just bow down to sticks and stones? Why is it that people are not pagans today? That we have many other challenges. We have intellectual challenges, but we don't have people in the same way. How do you read Tanakh, where people are running to Avodah Zarah, every other king? And the answer is because they actually were living with the Yetzer Hara inside of them for this, and we are not. When did this change? It changed at this moment in time, at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, when they realize that they're not going to be able to succeed with it still there. They say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take away its reward and take away it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered them, yes. This is one of the greatest achievements of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah as well. Okay, so now we actually start the bracha and the tehillah, which the Levium have asked them to do. And the way the Mefarshim understand this is that the Levium would call out and the people would answer, they would respond. So this whole now extra idea is going to be an expression of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Hashem himself, as the Malbim points out, but the Shem Kvodecha, the name of Hashem. The name of Hashem is how he interacts in this world, because you can't obviously understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu by himself necessarily. And it's really a beautiful history of the world about the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to his nation. So for instance, Psukim Vov Teches describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creating the world, and in fact choosing Avraham, making a covenant with him to give him the land of Israel, referring to the Bris Ben Avsarim, the covenant between the parts. You may recognize the words of these first section, because Atahu Hashem Levadecha, Atah Sisa Es HaShemayim Es Shmei HaShemayim V'chol Tzav V'Haaretz V'chol Asher Aleihu V'Hayamim V'chol Asher Bohem. The reason you may not recognize this is because this formulates two paragraphs in our davening of Pesukei Dezimra on a daily basis. So powerful was this blessing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commitment to us, is that we actually is used in the davening, these the first few Pesukim of this. We then go on to the next section, in which we hear about from Sukkim Test Yud Beis, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw our suffering in the land of Egypt and listened to our crying out and did all these plagues and wonders, brought them out through the sea. That's all. These are not Pesukim from Tehillim, these are Pesukim from Nehemiah. Did you know that? That we say in every single day. And you now bring them through the desert with the Amud Hanan and the Eish at night. Then in the next few Pesukim, we learn about, from Pesukim Yud Gimel to Chaf Aleph, we hear about the experience in the desert. We hear about Matan Torah, Al Har Sinai Yoradita, This is no longer in the Pesukim of Zimron. Hashem gave us the Torah Semes, the Torahs of truth, whether it be the oral and the written Torah, rules, mitzvahs. He gave us Shabbos and led us through the desert, through Moshe Rabbeinu, gave us Lechem in Hashemayim, Mayim Yisela, the water from the rock. Everything we needed, we had. But we turned our neck on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We didn't want to see His wonders, and we rebelled. And nonetheless, and we even made an Egel Zahav, and Hashem still in His mercy let us wander in the desert for 40 years and protect us, and did not take away the bread or the water or the protection. For 40 years He sustained us. This is the next section. By the way, you might notice in this section that it seems like the Meraglim, the spars, are omitted, but actually that is what's being referred to according to many of the Meforshim in Pasuk Tezayin, when it says Vavosenu Hezidu Vayakshu Ar Pam Veloy Shom Umitzosecha. And the emphasis over here that Rabbag points out is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite the fact that we didn't want the present that he was going to give to us, He still gave it to us because Tzadik Ata, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is righteous and he's guarding the promise He made to Avraham Avinu. Then in Pesukim Chav Bey is to Chav Hey, we hear about the conquest of the land of Israel, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed all these great nations on the east side of the Jordan, on the west side of the Jordan, and the children came in, and they have found a land full of good. They were able to establish themselves, and they captured all these different types of cities filled with all kinds of goodness of the earth, and we all settled down very, very fast. Starting with the next, unfortunately, we hear from Pesukim Chavov to Lamed Aleph, we hear now about, there's a cycle where we rebel, we get too satiated. In general, success has not been a very good recipe for success for the nation of Israel throughout history. We get too successful, we forget our Kodesh Baruch, He hands us to the enemies. The enemies beat us down. We call out to Hashem. Hashem sends leaders. Then we still sin again. That's the same cycle, Sefer Shoftim, and all the way through, as is being described in those Pesukim. A very, very sad description of the condition of humans, the condition of the Jews throughout history. And we rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We killed His prophets, referring to killing Zechariah HaKohen, as is described in Dira Yamin Bey's Perek Chof Dalet, a whole description of all these things. And nonetheless, and now they come to today. Pesukim Lamed Beis to Lamed Zayin is the end of the parak where it focuses on Va'ata Elokeinu, now God, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanara, the awesome, great God and terrifying God who keeps the covenant despite what we did done for you. You are right, Ata Tzadik, Alkol, Haba Aleinu. They ratify the judgment of Hashem, meaning what we see as a disappointment, that we don't have the Geula now, that is, you're righteous. We did not listen. We followed the same pattern of Jewish history. We did not come to the table. You always came to the table, even though we weren't deserving it. And therefore they say, now we are servants to you in this land. You've given us this gift. We're going to appreciate it. And essentially, we are going to follow your laws, even despite the fact that we've sinned up till now. What a remarkable statement. There's this communal gathering. It's really a watershed moment. Just a few things to notice, that in this entire description over here, the way the Malbim sees it is that there's three ways to recognize Hashem. One is through creation. The other one is through His continuing creation in the ecosystem that exists as it doesn't just exist, but it actually operates. And number three, through Hashkacha, where Hashem supersedes the natural system relating to human beings because of their actions. And we see all three of these as Hashem's name being interwoven into history. And that's what's being described over here. One important thing to notice, and it's just really a consequential point as we get to the end of this section today, and that is the following. The significance of the titles of the name of Hashem in Pasuk Lamed Beis, when they now come to today and they say, Hatoha Hakel Elokeinu, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor Vanara, those four titles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are significant because they're the four titles that, in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu used in Devarim Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Zayin, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor Vanara. Those are the titles we use at the beginning of Shemona Esrei. Why is this so important? Because the Gemara in Yuma Daf Samach Tesam Beis tells us that, in fact, at the times of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, some people stopped using those words. As an example, the Gemara says that Yirmiyahu stopped using the word when he stopped using the word Nora, that Hashem is awesome, because how could it be that he watched and he witnessed people, the non-Jews, the foreigners, dancing in his temple, and were not destroyed? Daniel started emitting the word Gevura, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor. Why? Because he says, how could it be that we are still in exile after 70 years and Hashem, and we call Hashem Gibor? So they were not able to, on their own honesty, to be able to say these words about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happened? Came Anshei Knesset Agdola, meaning, referring to this Perek, Ezra and Nehemiah, who reinstituted these words. Why? Did they see something different? The answer is yes, they had a paradigm shift. What did they say? They say, Adarabba, no, to the contrary. Zuhi gvuras, gvuras, gvurasai. This is his strength. Shekovesh es Yitzroi v'shenos and erach hapayim l'rishoyim. Because he allows Rishoyim to continue existing, that is his gvura. V'elu hein arasov. These are his powers, his awesomeness. Shil mole moro shal kolch baruch hu ha'ech uma achas yocholol yiskayim v'enem oz. How could it be that one nation gets so tortured but still exists? How could it be? So in other words, they were reframing the words, Hakel, Hagodol, Vagibor, Vanora, not in the power of, so to speak, this transcendent power which bashes down the enemies, but rather the more subtle power which is seen within the coursing of history. And that's what's being achieved over here. This is a meridian, a change from the pre, we'll call it, Migdash Rishon, the 1,000 years of prophecy, into the era that we're in now, both in the change of the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah, and also in our perspective of God's hand in history. Both of these ideas are converging in this parak, which is why it's such a significant point in the future of Jewish history. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.